Praise the Lord, everybody. It is such a privilege and an honor to be here one more time. I'm so thankful for this opportunity. And again, so thankful for everything you guys have allowed us to stay here and be part of the thing last night. Had a wonderful time. You know, Hannah had a great time. I think Lucy did too, but Hannah had a blast. Getting that beard and all that different stuff, the shaving cream thing. And we're just so thankful for every one of you, all you do for us as missionaries, but also just, you know, for the kingdom of God. And thank you one more time for having us. We're so thankful. The word of Lord in the book of 2 Peter, chapter 1, is what a really one of my favorite passages of Scripture. And I really think it's something that we should all look into and know about. Starting with verse 2, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2. It says, "Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to your virtue knowledge, to your knowledge temperance, to your temperance patience, to your patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, to brotherly kindness charity or love. For if these things be in you and abound, they shall make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, ye shall never fall." What a wonderful promise right there. That if you do some things that God has called you to do, you will have a successful walk with him. I do like how he goes on, "For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." That's a wonderful passage right there, man. God's going to make a big entrance for you. And he says, "Wherefore I will not neglect to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them, and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance." That's a good passage for pastors, amen. Verses 12 and 13, we preach the same thing over and over again. Well, Peter did the same thing. He felt like he had to. He said, I'm going to keep doing it, sorry. But we serve a God that wants to do something in our lives. The Bible says he's given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. He says he's given us great and precious promises. And by these, we will be partakers of the divine nature. We serve a God that has made a way that is so marvelous. And he's asking us to just continue to walk with him, to add to our lives, to add to our faith. And as we do that, there will be an entrance made for us into the kingdom of God. Let's just pray that God will help us this afternoon, that he will lead us and guide us. Lord, Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you for this opportunity, Lord, to be here together, Lord. I pray that you would just be with us, Lord, that you would lead and guide and direct. I pray that your will be done, that your kingdom come, that we would hear what you have to say. Lord, open our hearts and minds to receive what you have brought for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. I really have always loved this whole entire passage. And I have preached many times from different angles on this passage. It's so full of things to preach about. just, you know, verses 4 and 5 and are just, you know, 3, 4, and 5 are just full of some great things. 3 and 4, about how it is that we, being human, being sinful, God, in spite of that, made a way for us to become partakers, the Bible says, of the divine nature. That those of us that are willing to follow and obey and actually just simply seek and ask for His Spirit can become partakers of the divine nature. We're talking, and sometimes we talk about receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost. We talk about this thing that is part of who we are as Pentecostal people, and we forget. I don't think we totally forget, but you know, some people maybe don't understand that we're talking about the God that created the heavens and the earth, the God that has all power, the God that can do anything, wants to come and live within our hearts. He wants to fill us with His Spirit. And so it says we have, according to His divine power, He's given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. It says He's given us exceeding great and precious promises. And by these promises, we are partakers of that divine nature. That we've escaped the corruption that is in the world. Man, these are some awesome things. And then He says, but you do need to do some stuff. You do need to walk and realize that there is something for you to do, because He's given us access to all of this, but more than likely, most of us have not really been partaken or received as much as what He wants us to. It's not that you can be more full of the Holy Ghost, but that you can access what God has put in you and live it out and actually do what God wants to do through you. And so He says, Peter says, give all diligence. Make it an important part of your life to look at your faith, to look at where you are. When we talk about faith, especially in this context, it's not just a feeling of belief. It goes beyond that. Many times the Bible, it says, there's a verse that says, I can't remember what that verse says. I'll find it later. But it says something about his faith. They did something with their faith. I'm going to have to look that up in a second here. I sometimes want to just pause everything, and that's probably not the best thing to do right now. But when we talk about our faith, it's not simply believing. Just as Pastor was saying, it's acting on that belief. It's faith, true faith, is going to do something. True faith, you know, my wife turned to me in the second to last song, and she said, did you turn the oven off? And I said, yes, I did. But I didn't have faith in myself. And my lack of faith in myself made me go out and check to see if the oven was off, because I had faith in something else. I had faith that an oven that's left on at 400 degrees might do some damage. And I did not want to see that happen. So my faith in the oven made me leave for a second and find out, yes, I did. I did turn it off. Oh, but we're safe, right? We wouldn't want a fire back there. Not only would I not like to lose all my stuff, I know you don't want to lose the church either. Unless there's some insurance scam that we're trying to do, but I don't think so. So faith is who we are as Christians. It's the complete picture of obedience and living in God and having obeyed and done that which God has asked us to do. You know, so this faith goes beyond just belief, and it includes being baptized in Jesus' name. It includes, if you're actually a partaker of the divine nature, in my opinion, reading this and looking at scripture, that means you have been filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost. And so it goes beyond simply putting your faith in Him, but living your faith out. And so He says, that's all good, and it's wonderful and excellent, and it's extraordinarily important to follow those things, to be baptized, to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. But it doesn't stop there. We're living for God and doing what God has called us to do goes beyond just making some steps in the right direction. It's a walk that we have to proceed upon. It's a path that we have to proceed upon that continues going closer and closer to God as daily we seek Him and try to receive from Him that which He has already promised to give us. With all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to your virtue knowledge, to knowledge temperance or self-control, to your self-control patience, and to patience godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity or love. And we're supposed to add these things to our life. And I was preaching this, and I did a whole series, and I went through all seven of the ones that are here, and in addition to faith, that's its own separate thing. And so, you know, I was preaching and teaching about all these things, and I came to realize that the order that they're in is a little odd, in my opinion. And I don't know if the order matters. Peter doesn't say this is a specific order, and so perhaps it doesn't, but He put it in this order, so it seems to me it might be important. Add to your faith virtue. And then to virtue knowledge and self-control, patience. Now, what is virtue? Virtue, you know, there's two words in Greek that are translated into English as virtue. One of them means power. It's not this word here. That word power, for example, when the lady touched the hem of His garment, the Bible says that virtue flowed out of Him. It was power. It was something that was doing something. It was. We could even say, in many cases, we were talking about the Holy Ghost working in us. As it says in Acts chapter 1:8, that ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost comes upon you. So that's one word translated virtue, but here this word virtue comes from another word that more accurately in today's language would be translated excellence, as you can already see up on the screen. Excellence. And that's excellent to know that. But then again, it seems a little comical, in my opinion. I just, you know, I read stuff sometimes. Like, I always want to figure out, and, you know, I sort of have, but, you know, when we say, bless the Lord, how can I bless God? You know, anyway, that's a totally other thing. When you look at what we mean by, when I try to bless somebody, I give them something. How can I bless the one that owns everything? But anyway, that, you know, my mind goes in weird directions sometimes. And so it's like, let's imagine you decide to start a regimen, a program to add to your life. And you're like, okay, I'm going to start, and I'm going to go down this list. And day one, Lord, help me to be excellent. And you decide, well, let me just read the rest of these to see what I'm going to add, you know, tomorrow. Oh, knowledge. Oh, I don't have any of that, but I'm going to try to be excellent. I don't have any temperance. I don't have any self-control. But I'm going to be excellent. I don't have patience. I mean, a lot of people don't have patience. We've been told by too many people, in my opinion, wrongfully, to not even pray for patience, as if it's a bad thing to pray for something God tells us we need. I mean, how many of you ever heard someone say, don't pray for patience? I think that's just not very smart, is how I'm going to say that. I want to say something else, but it's probably a curse word for somebody. To not pray for patience. In fact, the Lord, you know, put it on my heart one day as I was teaching on patience, that those who really believe that, you know, some of us might say that jokingly, but those who truly believe that, they're like, no way, Lord, don't give me patience. Don't send, you know, don't help me figure out how to have patience. You are the trial for the rest of us to get patience. And so, I don't have any patience, maybe. I don't have any self-control. I don't love my brother and sister. And all these different things that are in your life. And yet, Peter's saying, add to your life some excellence. What is excellence? What really is excellence? Especially when we're talking about our personal, individual Christian walk. And we're talking about us as individual people trying to pursue something from God. What is excellence? You know, excellence is not the best in the world, because that's the best. And there's only one that can be the best. So if we find whoever is the best, they're the best. That's unrealistic for all of us to be that. I mean, I don't know if anyone here remembers a guy named LeBron James. Many people believe that he's the best. And, you know, there's a lot of stuff to back that up, perhaps. There's others that will point to other people in the past and things. But it is unrealistic to think that there would be a whole bunch of people at that caliber, even in the NBA, that there's not going to be tons of them. And so it's unrealistic for us to think that Peter here is telling me that I have to be the best. I have to pray the best. I have to seek God the best. I have to know more than everybody else in the world, or I really have not done anything. That's not what excellence is. Excellence is being the best you can be today, seeking to be better tomorrow. Excellence is looking at where you are and saying, I believe I can do better. I believe that I can, in Christ, through His power, through His authority, through what He's doing and His word, I can do something, and I can do it in a good way. In fact, look at Peter, who he is. Peter is one of the people we have the most information on as far as those who walked with Jesus Christ as disciples. We know a lot about him because he's written about in the Gospels. He's written about, you know, he's the one that one day, as Jesus is asking, who do you say that I am? By inspiration of God, he said, you are the Christ. And God, you know, Jesus turns and says, man, you received that from God, not from man. And then 10 minutes later, Jesus is explaining that he's going to go to the cross, and Peter said, no way. And Jesus said, get behind me, Satan, saying, you just received that from Satan. I mean, can you imagine being the one that in 10 minutes was used of God and then used of the devil? That's not a good thing to put on your resume. I can be manipulated by the devil to tempt God on earth. Peter's the one that said, I will never leave you. You know, let me get a sword. Let's fight. Let's do something. And then later, he's cursing and denying that he even knows who Jesus is. I mean, you read the book of John in that account, and the Bible says that when that rooster crowed, that Jesus was able to look him in the eye. You know, the distance or whatever there was, there may have been a gate, there may have been something, but he was close enough to where Jesus was that they could see each other. Nobody knew that Peter knew. Well, people thought he might know him, but Jesus knew who Peter was. And when that rooster started crowing, Jesus looked at him in the eye. Imagine this. No wonder when he sees Jesus later on, he's really, not very he's very humbled and in fact embarrassed to see Jesus, because he knows that he failed him in such a public manner. We're talking about Peter, the one that wrote this under inspiration of the Holy Ghost. Peter is the same one that after being saved, after receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost, he goes and begins to work with the Gentile church. And then one day, some people come and say, well, you shouldn't be with the Gentiles. And he rejects these people that God has saved. And Paul has to come, and the Bible says he rebuked him to his face. And you know, he got told off by someone that didn't even get to walk with Jesus physically. I'm talking about a man that had many times failings and problems and experienced not always doing things with excellence. But he is saying, in spite of that, in spite of all the problems I've had, in spite of the fact that I have failed God, the attitude with which I'm going to approach my walk with God is that it can be done with excellence. I really believe that we have to get in our minds and begin to understand that we serve a God that is all powerful, that he can change anyone, that he can transform anyone's life, that he can change the hardest of hearts, and he can turn us into something that is great, that are vessels of honor, that can do something for him. And that includes us. I've heard people, I was helping some people one time. I was counseling, believe it or not. They put me, you know, in charge of people. I got to counsel people sometimes, poor people. Brother Mullins in California, he preached a sermon. It says, people are pitiful, and we're all people. But anyway, I was helping, trying to counsel these people, and they had some problems. And one of them had been in the church for many years. And we're talking about this problem and what had happened, and they just turn and say, well, you know, that's just who I am. I'm like, well, in my brain, I'm thinking to myself, well, that's not good. If that's who you are, and you're doing nasty things, and we believe in a God that can change and transform, we need to work on this. We need to tell God about this. We need to really believe that something can happen. And I really believe, what I'm trying to say here, I hope you understand, I'm trying to encourage you that no matter where you are in your walk with God, you can do better. You can go higher. You can go deeper into the knowledge of God and begin to walk with him in a greater way, that you can live a life that is actually pleasing to God. You can live a life that is above sin. Listen, I'm not saying that all these things happen overnight. That's why Peter is here saying, listen, you've believed. You love God. You want God. You've even been filled with his Spirit. Let's start working on some things that have not quite been taken care of yet, and believe that God can make you a vessel of honor, someone who can do stuff that you would never even imagine. I don't want to take too much more time, but I really believe God wants to use every single one of us for his glory. God wants to do something in our life. And he wants to take us to another level. He wants to help us overcome sin in our life. He wants us to overcome temptation in our life. He wants to give us that power to be able to do things and do them right. Maybe you're not doing it right yet. Maybe you have no clue. You need to get some of that knowledge. You need to get a whole bunch of that self-control. You need to get some of that patience. And you know, you need to find out about that love and godliness and that brotherly love. Those things need to be added to your life. And what I'm trying to say is they can be added to your life. You can do them, and you will, if you continue to do them eventually with excellence. You know, how do spiritual people become spiritual? It's not that they woke up one day spiritual. It's that they every day decided, I want to do something for you, God. I want to serve you, God. God, you know, wash me, cleanse me, create in me a clean heart, oh God. Renew in me a right spirit. Lord, help me, help me. See if there be any wicked way with me. Lead me in the way everlasting. You just read through the Bible, and those who ended up doing things for God were people who, in spite of their failures, they got back up and said, God, I want you to use me again. God, I want to do something for you. God, I love you and I'm sorry. And as they went forward, they began to do things better. We serve a God that can transform, that can change, that He can fill you with His Spirit. He can wash away your sins, and He can begin today to help you to live a Christian life of excellence. How does the best piano player in the world, not just the best, just great piano players, good piano players, how do they get there? It's by they started practicing. They started doing something. How does anybody do things? It's because how do we learn to walk? You know, if we were a little older when we had to learn how to walk, I think there'd be some people that never did. No, seriously. No, I can't do that. There's no way. How on earth am I going to do that on 2 feet? I mean, you just think about walking. It's a pretty crazy thing that we can keep our balance. And you know, you look at most other creation creatures, they can't do that really. Yeah. And I'm not trying to compare us to animals or anything. I'm just trying to say that sometimes we give up because we look at the task and say it's impossible. There's no way I can live a life that's pleasing to God. There's no way I can overcome sin. There's no way I can ever, you know, that temptation comes and I don't know what to do. There's no way I can be a good husband. There's no way I could be a good father. And we give up on these things that God is saying you can do. And so I'm just here to give you hope that God has given us exceeding great and precious promises. God has promised that by His power working in us, no matter what the situation is, no matter what the thing that you think you cannot overcome, no matter where it is you are in your walk with God, God can do something in your life. I don't know if someone could just come to the piano. I really believe that God wants to do something. He wants to help us. Well, just the piano for now. He wants to do something and help us to go deeper. To truly believe. You know, maybe the problem is we compare ourselves to others. We say, well, I'll never. It goes two ways. You say, well, I pray more than them. And then you give yourself a pass for not praying more. Or you say, well, I'll never pray as much as they do. So you say, well, might as well not even try. You know, you find a way to, you say, well, I'm not as good, or I'll never be that good. Or you find, or I'm better. So, hey, why even do anything? I come to church every service. Why should I do anything more? I don't know what your struggle is. I don't know where you are. I don't know that thing that you need to overcome and to go to the next level. But I'm telling you, all of us have something in our lives. God has called us to live. The Bible says in Romans that we are to, you know, present our bodies as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable unto Him, which is our reasonable service. God is calling on us to live a life that is pleasing and acceptable to Him, to know His perfect will for our lives. But we've got to begin to believe, I can do it. Not because of who I am. Not because I'm special. Not because I've got it figured out. No, but because I have met the God that loves me. I have met the God that has all power. I have met the one who can transform me. So why don't we stand right now? I believe that God wants to help every single person that is here go above and beyond where you are today. And your attitude just has to be, maybe I'm not there yet. Maybe I'm not praying as much as I should yet, but man, I'm going to pray more. Maybe I don't read the Bible as much as I ought to, but I'm going to read more. Maybe I haven't overcome sin and temptation and I fall every now and then, but God's going to help me. God, the Bible said, it said, if you do these things, you will not fall. There's a promise in here. As if you continue seeking, continue walking, continue grasping onto those promises that He has, that there will come a day that you're not going to fall again. That temptation will not knock you down again. But we've got to believe, and today start taking hold of those promises, taking hold of His word, believing that His Spirit can work in us. Let's just go to God right now with in a heart of repentance. Repent of any evil thoughts, any evil actions, any evil words, things that are sinful. You know, if you said something, done something, thought something, let's just take those to God and say, God, forgive me. God, I don't want to do that again. God, I don't want to think that again. I don't want to say that again. Just believe right now that God's going to transform us, that God's going to change us, that God is going to help us overcome, that God is going to take us to another level, that God is going to help us to know Him in a deeper way. Let's believe it right now. If you want to come to this altar and seek Him, let's just believe though, because we serve a God that can do exceeding abundantly of all that we ask or think. But why wouldn't you ask Him? Why wouldn't you think He's going to go above and beyond what you request right now? But just ask Him. Believe right now that He's going to do it. He's going to help you. He's going to help your marriage. He's going to help your family. He's going to help you as a Christian, as a husband, as a wife, as a worker, as a boss. Whatever it is that your role might be in different things that you do, God's going to help you. Something great in you. Somebody here is going to be used beyond what they ever thought or imagined. And again, it's not because we're anything special, but it's because we have come in contact with the God, the only God, and He loves us and He cares for us and He wants to transform us. He's given us His Spirit that will allow us to overcome anything. Let's just put our confidence in Him right now. And let's believe that we can live a life of excellence.
Jesus. Praise your mighty name. Hallelujah. What we got to realize is we're human. We're not the best. God is. That's why we need him. Amen. Through him, we can do great things. Only through him. Amen. That's where Satan thought, well, I want to be greatest. We don't need his influence on our life. We need God. Amen. Put our eyes on God and trust him. Yeah, we're imperfect. We make mistakes. We don't do it right all the time. But our attitude, if we have an attitude that, God, I want to be better, then God says, I can work with that. Amen. I believe we all want to be better here today. Amen. What a great message today. Thank you. Amen. Let's take this and let's put it to work in our lives. Amen. And God wants to use you. Amen. Don't say that you can't do it. Say, God, you can do it through me. Amen. And God will. If you'll just avail yourself and you'll just give him free rein in your life and make yourself available, then God can do excellent things through you. Thank you, brother. Praise God. Lord, we're so thankful for your word today. God, help us, Lord, to really get a hold of your spirit in our life, God. What you see us as right now, God. Lord, help us to realize that it can come to pass. Lord, you see us greater than we do, Lord. And you believe in us, Lord. You want us to do great exploits. Lord, you said we would do great.